This is the Tech Talk podcast from RNIB.
We have got Julie Rodaway back with us. Hi, Julie.
Hi, everybody. Lovely to be back.
Hey!
It is so nice to have you back with us here on Tech Talk. Julie, how's Coco the guide dog is the first question everybody's asking.
Well, can I thank the listeners, because I understand that you've been sent emails inquiring about me and Coco. Well, she is doing absolutely fantastic. I feel I've had her for a long, long time. She's fitted in really well. When she's working, she's very steady, very cautious, very conscientious, but off harness, she's a nutter.
Like Stephen.
Yeah, absolutely. Coco the clown really suits her. But no, she's doing very well. The training was hard work, and I needed the break from Tech Talk to focus on it. But now I'm back, and I'm raring to go.
Yeah, fantastic. Good to have you back. And yes, you're coming back to us in what I think is probably one of the most important roles in this programme, and that is advisory. Somebody who actually can help us answer people's questions. Because, you know, we tend to try our best to answer questions. But one aspect that we don't have, and I've mentioned it before, and I'm learning at the moment, is Braille. And I'm really, really excited to start getting into it, but I'm way off being able to advise people when it comes to Braille, and I know that is your speciality, among other things, not just that, but you are going to be joining us over the next few weeks, and we're really excited to have you back on the team, so good to have you back, and with Coco as well, who we'll probably hear in the background at some point.
You probably will.
That's something to look forward to.
No, you are on to talk about Braille, actually, because, I mean, it's interesting, we're talking today on the programme about, you know, the problems that a lot of people have been having with Braille on iOS, iOS 11 in particular. But we're not going to talk about that on this segment, because I want to talk to you about Braille generally. There are a lot of different Braille devices out there, lots of Braille displays, and you're going to tell us about a couple of them. I mean, one in particular that we've talked about in this show for what feels like years, and that is the L Braille device. It's finally out. It's actually made an appearance.
It certainly has. You know, I thought you were going to talk about the Orbit Reader then.
But oh, no, don't be silly.
The L Braille has finally made an appearance. Now, it's actually going to come in two versions. The original version, which uses the docking station with a Focus 14, that comes in two components. You can buy the docking station alone and just add a Focus 14 if you've already got one, or you can buy both with jaws added on. But they are actually going to bring out an L Braille which isn't a docking station, but which houses a Focus 40 Braille display. And this is not a docking station. It's all in one unit. And the advantage, of course, is you've got the additional lovely Braille cells to work with. The L Braille that is currently available now has 160 gig of internal storage. It has a quad core processor. It has Wi-Fi and Bluetooth connectivity. Can run a plethora of your average Windows programs as well as JAWS. But because it's only got 2 gig RAM memory, you may find that you may have problems with JAWS saying not additional memory to run so many programs at once. I've had this problem previously when I've been running netbooks with such a low capacity of RAM in the past, so you may encounter that. But it looks a lovely, lovely device, and I'm delighted it's finally here. And I'm very excited about the additional L Braille with the 40 cell Braille display.
Sounds quite interesting.
It does. So for anyone that doesn't know, how would you describe this? I always think of it almost like a Braille laptop, if you want. It runs Windows 10, doesn't it?
It does. I would say, do you remember the old netbooks?
Yeah.
It's a sort of Windows Braille equivalent of that, really. It comes with Skype and all sorts of programs installed by default. It comes with Outlook Express. But yeah, I would say it's more of a netbook, sort of notebook. It's certainly not a desktop, and it's certainly not a high-spec machine by any stretch of the imagination. But if you want something that runs all your Windows programs and you want to be up to date, because specialist note takers, as beautiful as they are, they're running outdated Windows programs, Windows CE and stuff, so can't cope with many web pages these days. So this is the beauty of a device like this. And I think it's a mainstay. I think it's a game changer for future Braille devices that may come on the market.
I just imagine sitting down the pub, right, and saying to my friends, you know, yeah, you know, my friend of mine, he uses Windows 95, and everyone bursts into laughter. And then and then all of a sudden you say, yeah, but I'm using Windows CE. Everyone just stops and says, is that a thing?
Yeah, well, this is what, I mean, the HIMSS note takers are using, the Braille note Apexes are using, and the Braille note Empower. You know, that's really outdated these days. And because of that, you know, Windows Explorer, it crashes all the time. So this is really a game changer. I'm really excited about this device.
Cost?
I know the cost of the docking station is about £1,100. But obviously, if you buy a Focus 14, I think that adds the cost. I think it's another £800 on top of that. And if you buy Jaws Home, I think that's another £650 on top of that. But wow. If you've already got Jaws and a Focus 14, you're talking £1,100. Still expensive.
You want the whole package, you're looking at about $2,500 for a
glorified netbook. Yeah.
But the thing, again, we come down to, I know there's people need different things, but for the hardware you're getting, 2 gig of RAM for that price, it just makes it hard to swallow. If you're gonna, it's fine to charge that extra cost. That's fine. If it's expensive, it's expensive. But at least if we're paying that sort of money, give us, you know, decent or comparatively recent hardware is what I would say to that.
Absolutely. I mean, I did omit to mention that this comes with a capacity to take an SD card of 256 gig if you want additional storage. And the internal memory is split into two components. Your software and install programs goes on to drive C by default, and all your files, your personal files, goes on to drive D. So they'd sort of split the memory into two parts. But yes, I think they certainly could have given us more RAM, absolutely.
What is that about, though, Julie? Is that because the nature of the programs that people who use Braille and use these devices just need? Is that as far as it goes? Or do you think it's a case of it's the cost of Braille that's driving up the cost of the overall device?
I think the cost of a Braille display is the feature here, but I, as much as I'm excited about the device, I still think it's a lot of money to pay for essentially a docking station. You know, I think it's so expensive. I mean, you can get a decent laptop for that price, but of course, you've got the portability. This thing only weighs 2 or 3 pounds, and I've actually handled the device, and it's so small. And when the Focus 14 is sort of stationed into the dock, you wouldn't think there were two separate components because they fit together so smugly.
Well, I suppose that's what you're paying for then. If it really is that compact, it's been designed purely for the Braille display, I suppose you're paying for that. But still, all I'm thinking, which a lot of people I think will be thinking along these lines, is, well, you can pick up a decent laptop starting at £200. If you've got the Braille display already, you can use that and a copy of Jaws or even NVDA. I mean, you're talking a lot less money. But then again, you haven't got the same convenience, I suppose.
I think it's still an expensive price to pay for convenience, but I think that's the selling factor, the convenience of it all being in the one unit and the portability of the thing.
Right, what else? I know the Elbril's out, obviously, and that's great. I mean, it's been a long time in coming. It's almost an orbit reader level, but not quite, because the orbit reader's still not here.
It's mythical. Orbit reader.
Yeah, the mythical Braille.
You know, I'm beginning to think that doesn't exist, you know.
It does. The thing is, there are some countries that are selling it, but just not here yet. I'm sure they'll get around to it soon, but, you know, sooner the better, I think.
Next year, year after, God knows. Yeah, Humanware have released in America a Brailliant 14 cell Braille display. The interesting thing about the Brailliant 14 is that it comes with an app designed for iOS. And they are bringing an app out for Android eventually, but they've got this app that for iOS now. And what this allows you to do is, as soon as you connect your Brailliant 14 with your iPhone, if you've got notes or which you can take on the Braille device. It automatically synchronizes those notes, and your notes are linked to a Gmail account or an Outlook account, so you can actually email those notes to yourself and it does it automatically. That's very, very useful if you're in a meeting situation and you need to take notes on your Braille display, and then it automatically syncs with your iPhone. I've downloaded the app, which is called Brailliant Sync. And although I haven't got the Braille display in my hands just yet, I am waiting for it to come. And as soon as it does, I'll discuss it with you at greater length. I believe the Braille on it is nice and crisp and sharp, but I think this is exciting. It also has the ability to connect with 5 Bluetooth devices as well as USB. And you can switch between each device almost on the go, if you like, by a button sequence. And I think this is a very exciting time for Braille. I really do.
It does seem like they are putting a little bit more effort into it. I don't want to sound dismissive, but, you know, with the promised upcoming releases of the cheaper Braille displays, you know, it does sound like the long-standing companies are adding more features. I mean, the 5 device support for Bluetooth sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it's very ultra from Baum UK. They're a German company, but they've got a UK office. Their Braille display, the Very Ultra, can do that right now. And what I also omitted to mention, I'm really excited about this, Freedom Scientific are bringing out new versions of the Focus displays, and they're going to be able to connect to various Bluetooth devices as well. They don't at the moment. You can only connect to one device, but that's going to change. The design's going to change. And like the Brailliant 14, that has a basic clock and note-taking abilities, as will the new Focus 14 and 40 displays as well. So that's all going to change. With the Focus 14 and the 40 that are available now, it's just a terminal. You can't do anything else with it, but that's all going to change. So excited about all this, guys.
Right, I've got a question for you, Julie. As someone who's learning and is looking at various types of equipment that I could buy later, you know, not at the moment, but at some point I'll be looking to buy a Braille display. I was really interested to learn about the HIMSS Braille Sense U2 QWERTY keyboard version. Now, this is a QWERTY keyboard, standard computer keyboard with a Braille display built in. What interested me about it was it just gave me this idea, and I wanted to put this to you. Does that mean that because I can buy a device like that, it means I could learn Braille without having to learn to type Braille using the 6-key keyboard?
The most effective way is for you to learn Braille is to actually type on a Braille keyboard if you can. If you on the Braille Note Apex devices, you can certainly type on a QWERTY keyboard on the home keys to write in grade 1 or grade 2 Braille. I think you can use EU Braille as well to do the same thing. But I think the most effective way is to use a Perkins or a Braille keyboard device so you actually know the letters. And then once you've familiarized yourself with how to write them on a Braille input keyboard, then absolutely transfer to a QWERTY keyboard and write Braille that way. I think it's clever that you can do that.
Don't be lazy is what Julie is saying. Don't be nice to him, Julie. You tell him there's no shortcuts.
Get a display that you actually have to write on a Braille input keyboard. I think that's the best way. And then certainly transfer over to a QWERTY keyboard method for Braille entry.
Okay. All right. Well, good advice. And I will take it on board. Be quiet, Sean. Julie, while I've still got you, just one final question. And that was our listener, Beth, who got in touch. And we said, we're not going to answer this question because we're going to give this one over to Julie because she'll know the answer to this. The question was around whether or not Beth should buy an iPhone or a Braille Note Touch. Interesting question. Because very different devices. What do you think? I mean, she's suggesting that she wants something obviously to do with Braille, but shouldn't be to buy a separate Braille display, or should she go down the route of going Braille Note Touch or iPhone? What do you think?
It depends what you want to do, Beth. If you want to do very comprehensive word processing documents and you want something that can cope with the internet and email and everything else, I think the BrailleNote Touch is definitely the way to go. If you just want to write a text message or write an occasional email, perhaps a Braille display with an iPhone is going to be the less expensive option by any rate. But I think there's cons about that approach though as well, because if you're using an iPhone and you've connected a Braille display with Bluetooth connectivity and suddenly you lose that Bluetooth connection, you could be in the middle of taking notes and you lose that Bluetooth connection and then you've lost the use of your Braille display. With the BrailleNote Touch, that's never going to happen. It's never going to let you down. Switch it on, go straight to the word processor. It's never going to let you down. So it depends really what you want. I think both ways are fantastic ways to go, but it's entirely dependent on what you want to use it for.
Is that something that happens a lot, Julie, the Bluetooth disconnect on the iPhone?
Yes, it does. And I've had it where my Braille, I'm in the middle of writing a note and my Braille display is frozen and I can't do anything with it and I've had to reset it. Yeah, that does happen occasionally. Yes, it does.
Well, Julie, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your thoughts on Braille, because it's such an important area. And I think you'll probably be really pleased for me to say this, but I think it's a growing area now. I think technology is actually bringing Braille back, and the future of Braille seems very much secure. I know the costs are something we're always going to talk about, but you know, the more people who can access Braille, the better, and then overall that'll bring the cost down. That's the theory, at least.
I think literacy is so important, especially for younger blind kids. Because it's all right having a computer, but sometimes you need to actually know how to spell a word for the spelling to sink in. I know it helped me, you know, when I was younger. And, you know, for me, the joy of sitting with a Braille book and reading by the fire. Yes, I've got a Braille display, but actually physically reading a Braille book, it still has not diminished.
Amazing. Well, great to talk to you again, Julie. Glad you're back with us.
Oh, it's lovely to be back. You take care.
Thanks, Julie.
Thanks for downloading the Tech Talk podcast from RNIB. Find more podcasts from RNIB on Audioboom, iTunes, and the Apple Podcast app.